Let's worship the Lord and praise Him with all of our hearts today. Your name. The Lord bless you. You may be seated, and let me just add my voice to what has already been said. There is such a wonderful touch of the presence of the Lord here, and I don't take that for granted. I'm so thankful for each one of you lifting Him up, inviting Him in, and even to those worshiping with us online. Jesus Christ is focused on what is happening here today, and He is up to something great, and I say thank God for that. I came here today with an expectation, and I feel like that's the case with many of us. And I don't come to church to see or be seen, but it was great to see Brother Jeff and Sister Darcy here today. We're glad for recovery and blessing, and then to see Brother Kevin and Sister Haley. Welcome home! Their family, and there are others, forgive me for not mentioning every name. The closer you sit to the front, the better chance there is, because I can see you better. I'm getting older, that's just the way it is. But I thank God for each one of you. And if you're a guest, don't we love when guests come to Heaven View? We really do appreciate you coming. You may be worshiping online. This may be your first encounter with Heaven View. Thank you for worshiping with us today. It makes a great deal of a difference that we know that you're connected. God is blessing. Hopefully we can be a blessing to you. And then it's November. Can you imagine that? It is shocking that we are already in November. It seems like just yesterday was March 15th. I don't know what happened since then. I just hope it never happens again. And so because this is the beginning of a new month, it also happens to be a week with a lot going on around here. We covet your prayers. In fact, there is no prayer in the sanctuary tomorrow evening. It's pushed off a week because this site, the Fellowship Hall, is a polling station. They actually start to prepare tomorrow. Then Tuesday, it's open for those in this area to vote in the Fellowship Hall. So we'll give them the building the next couple of days. And then Wednesday night, we've got a good old-fashioned Southern Gospel concert with Matt Linton. He has received numerous awards over the year, Male Vocalist of the Year, Male Soloist of the Year, but he's also water baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, an apostolic preacher. He'll be ministering, and he has been strategically placed on Wednesday evening so we can come and worship God and not even think about all the other chaos that will be ensuing around us. Not that it's not important, but we have been praying and we're trusting God to work and intervene on behalf of this nation. Whatever happens, He's still God. And so come Wednesday, whatever happens, we're gonna lift Him up, we're gonna bless His name, and we're gonna let Him have His way. And that's great. Then Saturday, right here in the sanctuary, social distancing will be in effect, but we will be having our all-church ministry meeting. Brother Morton Bustard will be ministering to our leadership. Anyone can come. This is open to everyone, but to our leadership. If you minister in any capacity connected with Heaven View as a volunteer in any area, this is a way for your ministry to be highlighted, strengthened, encouraged, and it will be absolutely worth your time. 6 o'clock, we'll have a great visit with Brother Bustard. He'll be back on Sunday ministering in both services, and it will be absolutely wonderful. I wonder if you could stand. We're going to look to the word of the Lord, and then we're going to respond with prayer around the altar. Many of you are coming to the altar nowadays, even with a face covering. We're praying for you, being careful to provide some distance, not sticking around too long. And then, of course, some are praying in their pews, some are praying at home. But let's not miss the opportunity to respond to the Word of God with prayer and passion, believing the Lord for great things. Also want to give a shout out to each of you still serving in the various partner congregations. We even have some ministering as far away as Ohio today, and then a little bit closer to home, King, Taylorsville, Statesville, and the like. And we say to God be the glory. Luke chapter 12 from the New King James Version. Luke chapter 12, I'm intercepting a story that Jesus has told, and I want to read one verse and give you the context later in this message. He said to them, Jesus said, this is what Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Life is so filled with so many things. Not all of them are evil or sinful, but man, they can be overwhelming. Physical things, emotional things, spiritual things, and such like. But our life does not consist of just the things that we go through or the things that we have. It's much bigger than that. And I want to talk to you about that today. And in just a few moments after you're seated, I'll share my title with you by way of a brief little story. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to hear your voice, to turn to your word. I need your anointing, God, because I want to be a blessing to my brothers and sisters. I want to be someone you can use. I pray in Jesus' name that you would work in our hearts and lives. Receive the glory for everything that we are a part of today. And one more time, as you've done so beautifully, would you lift your voice and just thank Jesus for what he's doing, how he's working. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. This past Wednesday night was one of the best services we have ever had at Heaven View for as long as I can remember. It was wonderful in the midst of all of the stress in this world to see our young people, our iLive students, leading in every capacity. They were not all up on the platform, but they that were on the platform are representative of an awesome team of young people that God was using mightily. Their ministry was beautiful. Their ministry was powerful. And furthermore, their ministry is available even right now on Facebook and YouTube. You ought to make it the most viewed, the most shared, the most liked. You don't even have to listen to this message. You go watch it right now. It was definitely an amazing service. And I felt like all of us could say that service was a gift from our young people to us. And yet I was a little bit surprised after the service. They said, Pastor, we have a gift for you. And I thought, man, you just gave me the greatest gift you could give me. But look at the gift that they gave me. I think they'll show it here. It was a coffee cup that said, be careful or you will end up in my sermon. Just leave that there for a little bit. That was just an ominous gift. It made me laugh, and I've had plenty of coffee in that cup already, but it was just kind of humorous to me, the thought that you could do something to end up in pastor's message. And certainly, I hope it's never just a sermon. I hope it's a word from the Lord. But I do want to say you need to see the video of the service on Wednesday, because if I was ever going to preach about anybody, I believe I'd want to preach about our iLive students. I would love to preach about Kawani, who got up here and talked about suffering abuse and even having trouble harming himself, but he received the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in Jesus' name. I wouldn't mind people like that ending up in my message. And he preached to us, if he can change me, why can't he change you? That was awesome. I don't mind someone like that ending up in my message. I don't mind someone like Mercedes ending up in my message when she talked about sacrifice and surrendering all just to receive victory over the enemy and sacrificing for the reward of eternity. I wouldn't mind Mercedes and others like her ending up in my message. I wouldn't mind Rochelle Holbrook ending up in my message after she talked about going through middle school and high school and being very popular and even successful. And she had all kinds of friends and she was winning all kinds of awards. But she said, I was still facing anxiety and depression and fear. But she said, my story doesn't end there. When I got God in my life, I got victory over everything. Just turn this up just a little bit. I'll just tell you right now, it's not bad to be in the preacher's message when God has been so good. I know for some it might be a little frightening. In fact, you might lose a fight with a jacuzzi and end up in some preacher's message. So there's no telling what could happen, but I'm here to tell you it's good to end up in the pastor's message when you realize that God is still changing lives, when you realize that God is still saving souls, when you realize that God is still using us to reach others. So I want to say to each one of you, there is a challenge that has been presented in that cup. Be careful or you will end up in my sermon. What do you say? Because Jesus is such an awesome God that somebody here today ends up in next week's message because you were healed on Sunday, November 1st, because you were filled with the Holy Ghost the first Sunday of November, because you were transformed by the... Be careful, because if you surrender to the Holy Ghost today, you might end up in a future message. Be careful, because if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, something good is about to happen. Coming to a message near you, somebody repented of their sins, somebody was baptized in Jesus' name, somebody was filled with the Holy Ghost. Be careful, if you respond to God this week, you might be in the message next week. If you surrender, if you sacrifice, if you give everything to God today, who knows who might be preaching about you tomorrow? I would love to preach about you and you. I'd love to preach about you and you. I know I'm preaching about you. I know I'm preaching about you, because that's how good our God is. That's how awesome God is at work. You might say, this is my first time here. How could you preach about me? Because Jesus knew on this Sunday you would be coming to this church, and he sent me with a word that he's able to minister to your situation and change your life forever. My brothers and sisters, I would love to preach about somebody who repents of their sins today. I would love to preach tomorrow about somebody that's baptized in Jesus' name today. I would love to preach next Sunday about someone that's healed today. Hey, be careful. If you would trust God, anything could happen. Praise God. I don't think it's just an anomaly that our I Live students were being used of God so powerfully this past week. This generation of young people is being bombarded with so much chaos and so much confusion that it is likely that there are many, even some connected with this service today, that wonder, is there really any reason to try? Is there really anything worth living for? My brothers and sisters, it probably extends beyond young people, the despair, the hopelessness, the uncertainty. What we need is a generation of men and women of God that will rise up and say, there is still a God, and his name is Jesus, and he changed my life. He healed my body. He saved my soul. Why don't we let our lives become a sermon for a world that needs the Lord? In these last days, Jesus is busy changing lives. In these last days, God is up to something good. It was in the chaos and the absolute darkness of nothing that God spoke, let there be. And there is everything that we enjoy in this world and in this universe. My brothers and sisters, we are in chaos. We are in darkness. But the voice of God is still speaking, and the Spirit of God is still moving. And I believe some of the greatest sermons have yet to be preached, because the miracle that will be the foundation of that message is sitting on a pew at Heaven View today, and God is waiting for you to say, I will trust God. I will believe God. I will step out in faith, and you will be the subject of a message real soon in Jesus' name. Of course, not every story in every message is a story worth celebrating. I have heard some people preached about, and it did not go well. One of the most tragic stories I heard in a message was about a young man that was in the back of the church. And he came in, I don't know why, but on that particular service night, he just sat in the back and made fun of everything those old-fashioned Christians were doing. He laughed and joked with his friends all through the service. A little songbook back in the days of this story, a little songbook in the pew back in front of him, and he just scribbled in that songbook obscenities and other kinds of sayings that just kind of indicated he thought this was all a big joke. And the story goes, he got in his car, headed home with that kind of attitude towards God and his people, and he was in a tragic car accident on the way home, ended up in the ICU and in intensive care. He could barely speak, but there with his body all broken and bruised, they got close and they could hear him say, the songbook, get the songbook. They didn't understand what was going on, but after some thought, they got back to that church where that pew and that songbook set, and they looked to one of the songs that had been sung by that old-fashioned church was the song, Why Not Tonight? And there that young man had scribbled, because I don't want to. I'm telling you, not every story about every person in a sermon is a story that anybody wants to hear. But let me tell you, our messages are not phony fairy tales. Our messages have to do with people that stand at the border or the brink between life and death. And so you and I must choose with every service, with every song, with every sermon. I say yes to Jesus. I say yes. I'll never forget being new, brand new to the ministry, preaching around and just shocked and amazed that people would let me come to their church, not even knowing me, let me preach. And back in the early days, I had a car that was so bad, we called it the Blue Beast. It was 1991. This was a 1976 Chevy Malibu Classic with swivel seats and all kinds of rust spots throughout the whole exterior of the car. It looked like the measles driving down the road. My first night of any revival, I would park down the street from the church. I would not park in the church parking lot, because I thought, if they see the car the preacher's driving, they're not going to have any confidence in the message the preacher's preaching. But during those early days, there was a preacher's kid that had backslid, and he befriended me, and I was in a particular city I'd never been to before. And he said, "Hey, I want to show you around." He gave me a tour of that city, and then we ended the tour in his very nice car at his very nice business. And he showed me everything that he was doing, everybody he was influencing. Then we sat in his big plush office, and he sat behind a big, huge desk. And I can tell you, this young new preacher was not making near the money he was making. I didn't have near that sense of success that he had. And there behind his desk, he opened up a drawer. He pulled out a stack of messages, preaching messages, and he slammed them on the desk. And he said, "Harold, don't ever stop preaching. Don't ever give up on the call of God." He said, "I remember when God called me and I thought he was going to use me, but then I went through some things and I got hurt. And so I walked away from the call of God." And he said, "Look at all this. I'm very successful." But he said, "None of that success helps me sleep at night, because I wake up in the middle of the night preaching messages that I never got to preach where God wanted me to preach them." He said, "I can't help but write down messages that I never get to preach, because the call of God is so real in my heart." I'm trying to preach to somebody today. Be careful, or you will end up in somebody's message. Please make sure every opportunity you have to say yes to God, there's something in your spirit that says, no matter what happens in the world, I will choose Jesus. Oh, if that's how you feel, would you raise your hands right now and say, "Jesus, I want you to know when I end up in a message, it's not going to be because I walked away from you. It's going to be because I trusted you and I depended on you in every area of my life." Don't leave God. Don't quit church. Don't love money. Don't end up in a message because you love the world more than you love Jesus. Demas ended up in a message just like that. 2 Timothy 4, the Apostle Paul said, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he has departed." And it goes on. Be careful, because there are some messages you don't want to be in. There are some sermons, you know, I would never want to be in that sermon entitled "Remember Lot's Wife." I don't want to be in a message like that. I'd rather be in a message about that little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he said, "It's not much, but I'm going to give it to Jesus, and I'm going to just see if Jesus can use my little gift for his glory." My brothers and sisters, everybody in the sanctuary, everybody online, you could be in next week's message, not because you quit, not because you gave up, not because you love money, but because you love Jesus. And so Jesus included stories about people in his messages all the time. We call them parables. I told a parable about Kiwanee today. What a good parable. But Jesus told parables all the time. So we read in Luke 12, he said to them, picking up at verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." And then he tells a story. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' He said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I'll build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods.' And he goes on to say, 'I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Be careful in these last days, because you could end up in the wrong message. make sure that eternity is your priority. If your life becomes all about yourself, be careful. That's not the kind of sermon you want to end up in. Surrender towards God. Be rich towards God. One translation says this, again, Luke 12 and 21. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. This is not a message against success. This is a message for a rich relationship with God. And the foundation of a rich relationship with God is saying yes to surrender, saying yes to sacrifice, saying yes to obedience, saying yes to Jesus. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter what is happening in this world, just make your relationship with Jesus Christ as rich and fulfilling, as deep and overwhelming as you possibly can. And you say, in Jesus' name. So, here we are, the Sunday before an election. Can I give you a word? Vote early, vote often. That's not a word from God. But I want you to know, you need to vote early, and you need to vote often. Because the most important election in your life is not the one that's happening Tuesday. You need to elect every day to please Jesus. You need to elect every day to serve Jesus. You need to elect every day to follow Jesus. The biggest choice for us is not the choice that some will make on Tuesday, and many have already made. I think that Tuesday's choice does matter. We should pray. We should remember the Bible. We should go and vote. We should recognize that really there are two major parties that have an opportunity to influence the U.S. at this time and place. And they have platforms that let you know where they stand. You ought to be thoughtful about those things. But I heard a headline just this weekend that startled me. One man said this, "I'm voting like my life depends on it." And they say that close to 150 million voters in America will cast their ballot on Tuesday. It's never happened like that before. It seems like there's a whole lot of people that think that what they do Tuesday, their life depends on it. I do not want to minimize the value of your vote, but my goodness, if we are so consumed about what's going to happen Tuesday, we may miss that the biggest choice we make is Wednesday. How are we going to respond regardless of who's elected? What are we going to do regardless of what happens next in this country? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to obey Jesus regardless of the outcome. I am encouraged that you should make a choice on Tuesday, but I hope you're making a choice on Wednesday. I hope you're making a choice on Thursday. I hope you're making a choice on Friday. I hope you're making a choice on Saturday. I hope you're choosing Jesus. I hope you're choosing Jesus every morning when you wake up. I hope you're choosing Jesus throughout the day when things come against you or you hear about stuff happening all around us. I hope you and I will choose Him, because that choice matters more than any other choice. I Live is a part of a program called I Lead. It's amazing. These young people that some might discard as too young to make an impact in the world, I disagree. They're being raised to be leaders. And they're taught in that class this simple little axiom. There is a choice you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you. I am preaching today that you have an opportunity to end up in somebody's message. Because no matter what came against you, you chose Jesus. No matter what your family had to fight through, you chose Jesus. No matter what chaos ensued in America, you were a light on the job, a light for your friends, a light in your neighborhood. There is a God, and his name is Jesus. And no matter what's happening around us, if we choose him, we're going to be blessed. If we choose him, some good things are going to happen. If we choose him, we're going to get from this life to eternal life. And so I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus. I will elect Jesus. I will obey Jesus. I will follow Jesus. And I will become a part of somebody's message because I chose to obey him. As the musicians come, I believe that there is one story that Jesus told about a person that is no doubt, at least for me, the most important story that can be heard over and over and over in these last days. One story about one person. It's a story about a young man that lost his love for his father and lost his love for his father's house. It's a sad story at the beginning because he took everything he could get and he headed off to do things his own way and he wasted his life on riotous living. But that's not where the story is. I love these stories about people and messages that have happy endings. I think everybody in here ought to be one of those stories. But after he had lost everything, Jesus goes on to say, Luke 15 and verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. I believe that is the story that is going to be preached more and more in these last days. Over and over and over again. Until all the Pentecostals are like, man, I heard that story so many times. Tell me again. Because it means there's one more person that has said, I tried everything. I knew about Jesus. I learned about him when I was a kid, but I just blew it off. And I tried everything. But now I realize, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. That is the story I want to preach more than ever before. And I want to, I don't know, enlist each one of you to become a part of that story. I want each one of you to just set me up with message material from now until Jesus comes. How do we do it, Pastor? Go and find someone that has drifted far from God and let them know the Father still loves you. The Father's house still has a place for you. There is room in the Father's house for you and you and you and you and you and you. That's the story. That matters more than any other story. That someone that has made a decision that has caused them to drift away from the Father and away from the Father's house could make one choice that causes the Father to run in your direction. Would you stand and bow your heads with me right now? I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, across this sanctuary and in homes throughout the area and beyond, there is someone that's going to end up in a message that I'm going to preach before you come. I don't know their name. I don't know every detail of their story yet, but I know they're coming to themselves right now. With all the chaos in the world, and with personal challenges that seem overwhelming, somewhere, someone is saying, I got to get back to church. I got to get back to God. I got to get closer to the Lord. I got to get back on track with what I know He has called me to be. And I know He has called me to do. And so I will rise and I will go to my Father's house. Lord Jesus, I am so overwhelmed with the reality that sometimes those that have drifted, they don't run back to You. They stagger. They stumble. Sometimes they stop along the pathway because they have doubts and they have regrets. But when they start moving towards You, even if it's just a step or two, I know that you run towards them. And I pray that You would help me preach messages about people all over this triad that are taking a step towards You today. It may be someone right now that takes the moment to kneel beside their bed all by themselves and they say, oh, Jesus, that preacher was preaching about me today. Help me to get closer to You. Lord Jesus, help me. That's it, right where you are, right where you are, in your bedroom, in your living room, in your car, whatever is going on. Pull over if you have to, but let Jesus know, I'm coming to myself today. And after I come to myself, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm going to be a part of that preacher's sermon next week. I'm going to be a part of his message in the future because I'm going to be one of those that lost everything, but I never lost my Father. I never lost my love for God. I never lost the awareness that God loves me, and I never lost the directions home. I never lost my way to where I know I need to be. Church, would you raise your hands? It may be for someone in the sanctuary. It may be for someone worshiping online, but would you raise your hands and would you intercede for someone that feels like they're too far gone, that they cannot make it back? It might be a relative. It might be a friend. It might be someone that you work with. It might be someone you haven't thought about in months, but over the last few days, you can't get them out of your mind. It's because God wants you to be a part of their story, the story of their victory, the story of their miracle, the story of them coming back home. In Jesus' name. If you are here today and you have a need, I invite you to come in just a moment. But I want to say, if you're not coming for a need, many of you received a card. It's an invitation to Heaven View. If you can find that card, if you're not coming for yourself, can you come to the altar for somebody else and just raise your hand and say, Jesus, between now and next Sunday, I'm going to give this card to somebody and I want to let them know they're welcome. They're welcome in the Father's house. They're welcome at Heaven View. They're welcome to be my friend, my neighbor at church. Come on, if you're coming for a miracle, go ahead and come. If you're coming for a blessing, go ahead and come. But could you come for somebody else? You say, well, I'll do that, Pastor, but I can't do it at the altar. Then right where you are, could you raise your hand for yourself or for somebody else and say, in the name of Jesus, help us to make it back to the Father. Help us to make it back home. Help us to be a part of a message that rings of victory, that rings of the miraculous, that rings of salvation. Come on, if you've never been baptized, we're ready to baptize you in Jesus' name today. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, come, let us pray with you. Right where you are, lift your hands up. Say, Jesus, empty me of me and fill me with you. Thank you. just reach out to the Lord. Come on, let's make this entire sanctuary an altar. Come on, if you're worshiping at home, build an altar right where you are. Come on, come on, come to yourself. And then come to your Father. Come to yourself. Then come to your Father's house. Come on, come on. There's a message waiting for you. There's a message with your name on it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Reach out to the Lord. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord. Come on, there's a reason why you're here today. There's a reason why you're here today. You're here. You're here to receive from God or help someone else receive from God. You are here to intercede for yourself or for someone else. But you're here to be a part of someone's story, to be a part of someone's miracle, to be a part of someone's breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Make a choice. Make a choice. Elect to move closer to God.